I want to share tonight on the subject of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, that is a powder keg in some churches. There are some churches that would find that difficult to discuss or believe in. Some would find it a lot easier. And quite often, maybe churches like ours, we just launch into the subject without forgetting that there are some people are not very comfortable with it. So I want to give a biblical view tonight, because the Bible is the main way that God speaks to us. If you just put this on, so we'll leave that there. I've only got one other slide. Series I'm doing is developing a closer, more satisfying walk with God. Last week was Where You Stand, so the fact that because of Jesus you can come into his presence. This morning is Where You Connect, talking about how we connect with God. Tonight is Where You Grow. It's about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's a fascinating subject. There are two main ways in which God speaks. One of them is through the Bible. The vast majority of Christendom and evangelicals will be comfortable with the Bible. The Bible is God's word. And if the Bible says don't kill, it means you don't kill. If the Bible says marriage is one man and one woman, then it's one man and one woman. So there are things that put in the Bible that we will not cross. But obviously, the Bible is the bedrock, and it talks about God's heart and the truth to us. The Bible was written by very various people, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the Old Testament was probably complete itself before the time of Jesus. And then by the early 320s, the final 27 books of the New Testament were in place. So the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the first five books of the Bible. And every rabbi in Jesus' time was required to know every single word in all of those books, all of them, off by heart. Paul knew Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy off by heart. He had to know it. Jesus would have known it off by heart. They had to know it off by heart. And all these people would have then got 12 disciples around them. That's what Jesus did, because he followed the teaching pattern of the time. But of course, he was the Son of God. Joshua, Judges, Ruth. And then there's Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. That's the history books of the Old Testament. Then there's Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Songs. That's the poetry and wisdom, another way in which God speaks. Then there's Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Old Testament prophecy. Different ways in which God interacts with the people of the Old Testament. Then the Holy Spirit was silent for just under 400 years. In other words, in terms of giving prophecy and major things, then Jesus comes along. And then there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, Galatians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, Revelation. God speaks. The Bible, the Word of God. And that's how God speaks. And that's how a lot of people think God doesn't speak any other way. There's a group called the cessationists. Very small part of the evangelical movement, but they say God does not speak in any other way. But actually, if you look at the Bible itself, it says that no, God does speak in other ways. Because it says in Mark 16, 17 to 18, these signs shall accompany all those who believe. In my name, they'll drive out demons, they'll speak in new tongues, they'll pick up snakes with their hands. When they drink deadly poison, it won't hurt them at all. They'll place their hands on sick people and they'll get well. When the Holy Spirit fell in Acts 2, it says, this promise is for all people of all generations, all who are far off. So there's this element whereby God speaks through his word, but he also speaks through his spirit to each of us. And there's this mysterious passage in 1 Corinthians 12 where Paul, who had this tremendous relationship with God, was brought closer to God through adversity. The Holy Spirit revealed to him, this is how I want to speak. Now I'll say one thing now very, very clearly from this pulpit, and everyone knows this is the view of this church. If you don't act in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that's perfectly fine. You're still saved. There are one or two gifts of the Holy Spirit that I have got. I've not got any of the miraculous ones. Other people have. I'm fine, I'm still saved. There are some people who have changed this world, who have gone to heaven, who have done the most amazing things, they're doing them now, who don't speak in tongues. That's fine. I believe God's, but to push people to speak in tongues is not right. However, a lot of people do. And the Bible says that this gift is for everybody, that's fine. But just because somebody doesn't receive it, that's fine. You might have a gift of hospitality or love or cooking or anything else, and I haven't got that gift. So, at the end of the day, we must not literally... It's like, for instance, tonight we had a great time of spontaneity in the Holy Spirit in terms of singing. Some people, probably from some traditions, would find that difficult. They'd find it a lot easier to have songs printed in front of them. Different styles. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I believe, are for everybody, but just because somebody, not everybody receives them, doesn't mean to say that there's anything wrong with them. Acts 2, 1-4 said, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound, like the blowing of violent wind, came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." That's incredible. And what we find is, right throughout the last 2,000 years, there's actually pockets and churches of people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. But the massive worldwide movement really took off probably through the holiness movement at the beginning of the 1900s, and then the Pentecostal movement spread throughout the world, Los Angeles, Northeast England, all right throughout the world, whereby people who are so hungry for the presence of God, like these people were here, they'd seen Jesus physically die, go to heaven, he was gone, he wasn't there in body to help them anymore. Their lives were in danger, so they reached out to God and God met them in a personal way. And I believe the level of hunger that you've got, God can meet it. And God, by his Holy Spirit, continues to speak. And even in the New Testament, right throughout the end of the book of Acts, there are people like Agabus, prophetesses, ladies who were prophesying. You know, Paul referred to them. So right throughout into the first, second and third century, God was doing miracles through people in the church. Absolutely, tremendous miracles, and these gifts were there. But obviously it's important, I think, that if Joe Bloggs are standing here and he's moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and Mr. Jones is over here and he isn't, Mr. Jones and Joe Bloggs need to be united in Christian love. So sometimes, because it says in 1 Corinthians 13, let me show you a more excellent way. These are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The more excellent way is the way of love, whereby we're supposed to be united. And you know, at times I fall out with people, but then the Holy Spirit convicts me. And so we need to be united. But the power gifts for the church are evident in the world today, have been there available for us right throughout the Christian era, and are available to every room, every person in this room, whenever you want to. You know, I am not going to put you on the spot tonight and pray for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit or speak in tongues, but if you want to do that, I'll do it. So I'm not going to put any pressure on you. I would rather you understand what the Word says and the Holy Spirit works on your heart. That's a more important thing. So then he goes down, Paul. So Paul actually wrote, if you know anything about this, any biblical scholar will tell you, Paul wrote four letters to the Corinthians. But the Holy Spirit only put two of them in the Bible, because there was one in between 1 and 2, and there was one an earlier one as well. And so, but 1 and 2 Corinthians are the sort of what's called the early letters. Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, and Galatians, it was called the Paul's heavy hitters, if you like. And so Paul wrote this letter, and he talks about gifts of the Holy Spirit. I do not want you to be uninformed. We'll put them there. I'm going to list them. We've only got one another. That's the nine miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. Absolutely fascinating. I'll read the Bible first, then we'll go through each of them. When you were pagans, you were led astray by mute idols. However you were led, therefore I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. No one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are various gifts but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service but the same Lord. The varieties of activities but it's the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. One is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. To another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Now, before we go any further, what you have is those people who would criticize the miraculous element of Christianity normally do it because they've seen the worst examples of it and judge us all by that. It's like me saying, don't go to Portsmouth because they beat you up. Well, actually, you might go to Portsmouth and see everyone's okay. But obviously, if I'm down Fratton End and I'm near the football ground on a Saturday night and they're all drunk, then it might be a dangerous place to be. But the majority of people in Portsmouth might be fine. You know, so quite often, some people who are not used to this, who have perhaps gone to a very traditional church, praise the Lord for traditional churches, they have an awful lot of teachers, would have probably not experienced this. They might walk into XYZ church that does this and think, oh, that's awful, or see something on the television. So don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, because if we do that, then obviously we're missing all that what God wants to do. But the Holy Spirit speaks very powerfully. I first heard somebody speaking in tongues when I was about 16 in the church at one end of Derby that I visited, and it frightened the living daylights out of me, because up until that point, I didn't know what it was. So I went home and told my non-Christian mother, who thought that I was mad that I was in a cult. And of course, because my mother said, don't go to it, of course you go to it, don't you? I mean, if she said, don't go clubbing, I'd have gone clubbing. But if she said, don't go to church, I thought, that's it. And they're actually quite nice people. But I want to look at what these actual gifts of the Holy Spirit are, because there are 9 miraculous manifestations. Verses 8, no one given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. So it talks about them. The first one is wisdom. Wisdom. So basically, when you are a Christian, you ask to allow the Holy Spirit to fill you. In his own time, elements of it will manifest. Wisdom is the divine, a real divine ability from God to have wisdom about something and to know what's right and what's wrong and to see, to really see into the future regarding your situation. To be able to, and it's meant for the common good, it's meant for the church. So it's like a kitchen working together on a sort of a catering program. There's the chef, there's the waiters, the people who wash up, they all work together. So somebody, the idea in the early church, and we hopefully want that to be the case in the church nowadays, is that wisdom, and there'll be somebody in the church who has a divine impartation of wisdom from God, greater than any wisdom you can learn, who will be able to speak into a situation and say, this is right, this is wrong. So for instance, if we decided as a church to send a mission into Afghanistan or whatever, God would speak through somebody who'd been given the divine gift of wisdom to know what the right thing is, and to be able to say, no, this is right, this is wrong. If you want the gift of wisdom, ask God for it, because he'll give it to you for your situation. But it was meant in the early church for God to be able to equip the individual and the church to know what's right and what's wrong. And they needed wisdom. They needed wisdom. Agabus had the gift of wisdom. He basically says, don't go from here. Well, by the way, there's going to be a famine soon, so we need to do A, B, and C. And he came up to Paul a bit later on and said, look, this is going to happen. You need to know what. And then Paul had to weigh it up. And of course, he knew that he had to go to Rome to see Nero Caesar. But of course, he was killed when he got there. But the whole of the journey from that point, right to the end of the book of Acts, is what where God directed him with wisdom. Knowledge, how is that the same? Well, this is a thing called the word of knowledge. So in a church whereby you would, and quite often, different people do it in different ways. I respect different ways of doing it, but a word of knowledge, if I had a word of knowledge for Mrs. Jones, I don't know who Mrs. Jones is, but let's say Mrs. Jones has sat there. I would not say, Mrs. Jones, the Lord says, we've seen you clubbing in Southampton 10 nights on the row and being carried off in a police van. The Lord says, stop doing it. I wouldn't do that. I'd go up to her at the end and say, I'm ever so sorry, God's given me a word of knowledge for you. Can I grab one of the ladies in the church and we'll sit down and share it with you? That's kind of how I do it. I don't put people on the spot, and we don't do that in general here. However, if it was a general one, and I said, the Lord's told me that there's somebody here and your foot's broken and we'd like to pray for you. That's how we like to do it, because that doesn't intimidate people. Because if I say, Pat, the Lord says that you robbed a bank yesterday, what that is me saying, everybody, I've got one of these gifts of the Holy Spirit, worship me, I'm fantastic. It's about me. So if that was the case, I'd probably Say, I'm ever so sorry, Pat, the Lord's told me this, but what do you think? I might be wrong. And then probably get Pat to pray with people privately. You wouldn't know about it. And that's how I try to do it. Although sometimes I've said it publicly. Knowledge. So knowledge is whereby it really works if you're on the street. And we try to do this in prayer station. Judy's done this. You pray for people on the street. And when people come past, we say, look, I'm ever so sorry, but the Holy Spirit's put this on here. You know, as a Christian, I believe this. Is this right? And this is a situation you're in. Can we pray for you? And when that happens, it only takes one person. My gosh, that's right. But you have to, listen, if you never function in the miraculous gift of wisdom or knowledge, that's fine. Don't worry. What's God? Faith is one. It's all in this chapter here, whereby God gives you the gift of faith. Not the faith that we've got, the faith that we believe in Jesus and we go into heaven. We've got that anyway. But the gift of faith whereby, you know, God has given me the gift of faith. Because for money, money's not something I worry about. God's always blessed us. We look after our money very, very well and meticulously so we can be able to do things that we can afford. But we give the glory to God. But faith is whereby you have faith for this to happen, faith for that to happen. And it's just something I believe that God has given me. Healing, that's one. That's incredible. It says in Mark 16, 17 to 18, all believers will place their hands on sick people and they'll get well. That means that you have the right, if somebody says, can you pray for me? You have the right from God to pray with them and pray for them. I've seen miraculous healing. Some of you have seen miraculous healing. Some of you in this room have got the gift of healing. I'll be honest with you, I don't know if I have. I haven't discovered that yet. I've got the pastoral ministry gift, but in terms of the gift of healing, I pray for people, but there are some people who really function in the area of healing and really work very well. You may have, and there's an awful lot of good and bad people on Christian television, but you may have seen people who really function in that. For instance, a famous Assemblies of God pastor from 120 years ago, Smith Wigglesworth, had the gift of healing. There may be people you've seen on TV who have. But Smith Wigglesworth was so close to God, he would rip people out of wheelchairs and push them so there's no room for error. And if they didn't run, he was sued. You know, I mean, and now, how do you get so close to God like that? I don't know. I'm not that intelligent. I don't know that much. But what I'm saying is he was functioning in the gift of healing because the Holy Spirit led him. And unless God says that to you, you need to know, you know, the gift of healing. The gift of miracles. All this is in one chapter. Miracles basically means the ability to allow God miraculously to work miraculously in your life. There was the famous lady, I'm trying to get this right, and I've shared this before, who had to get to Paris very quickly. I can't remember the details, and the more I share it, the details get more and more shady. But I shared it with the youth years ago. I'm trying to remember the facts, and some of you are nodding, thinking you remember it. But she was in Christian ministry somewhere, and she had to get to Paris very, very quickly. And because there was some delays, and she was in Heathrow Airport, and God said, walk into the toilet. She walked into the toilet, and walked out, and she was in Charles de Gaulle Airport in Paris. Now that happens. It's never happened to me, but God gives people the ability to work like that. Prophecy is one we use quite a lot, where this says the Lord, and people literally are given a prophetic word for the future. Trying to look at the time here, what time is it? Quarter past. A prophetic word for the future, whereby God will say that. It's like, for instance, when Brexit happened, when we voted for Brexit, a whole load of prophecies came out. And, you know, some people perhaps believing they were given prophetic words got sort of certain elements wrong, but some have given other prophetic words that have come true. And prophecy is simply where where God says, your son or your daughter or your mother or blah, blah, blah is going to do this in the future, or I want to do this for you or that for you. Some people have that ability. I am not a prophet. I do not function in that way. I can give words, but it is not my gift. There are those in this church who would say that it is their gift, and I respect them, it's great, but it's not something I am. There was almost a trend within the Pentecostal charismatic churches sort of 10, 20 years ago where everyone had to be a prophet. Well, I've said to people, I'm not a prophet. You know, we have got prophecy. I function in the pastoral area, sometimes great and sometimes I make mistakes. But we rely on different people who have got these things to all work together. Now, tongues, that's one. Because the tongues that it's referring to here in 1 Corinthians 12, which is this list here, is not tongues where you worship God with your voice or you worship in tongues. It's talking about bringing a tongue in a congregation, whereby somebody will speak out in the tongues. And then number eight is where God gives you the interpretation of that tongue. We had a group come here from... We had an International Bible Training Institute about 9, 10 years ago. Remember, some of you remember. And you remember this, don't you? This is incredible. This is brilliant. If none of you heard this, this is brilliant, because Christine Angel was here at the time. And I won't embarrass her. This is good what she did. Somebody spoke out. No, you spoke out in a tongue, didn't you? Because you have got the gift of speaking in tongues like this. I haven't got the gift of speaking out in a tongue like that. I do it privately in my worship and whatever, but I've not got that gift. You've got that gift. And a man from an African country who was with this Bible group said, this is what is the interpretation. This is what you just said. Rwanda, that was it. You spoke in his language. Which is incredible. I mean, all of us literally were cold. With tingles went down our spine, thinking, wow, does God do that? Of course he does it. And what's the qualification? Well, Jesus died on the cross. He's made you qualified. Absolutely incredible how that happened. And he literally spoke out and he interpreted what you said, which is amazing. And finally, distinguishing between various spirits. I believe God's given me that. Because without going into very details, God shows me things in the Holy Spirit which I couldn't share and couldn't tell anybody under a certain age, because it frightened the life out of them. But I keep it to myself. You know, if it says don't go into details about angels and things like that, I just keep, you know, I'm here to serve the body. But when I see things, that's right. I haven't got the gift of healing. I haven't got the gift of prophecy. Some of you might never have any of those gifts. It's fine. Don't worry about it. God may give them to you at different times. But the idea was the early church had these gifts which pulled them together. It hasn't gone away. But God talks about in Galatians 5, almost, because he goes on to 1 Corinthians 13 here, and it said, I'll literally go back a little bit, where Paul simply says, and now I'll show you the most excellent way. I've got it written down here. Where is it? Down here somewhere? Or a bit further on? No, let's find it in the Bible. This is great, because you might be thinking, my gosh, this is all a bit scary. But then he goes on and brings it in 1 Corinthians 13. He says this, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, I have all faith as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I have away and deliver up my body to be burned, I have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy or boast. So in other words, you know, Joe Bloggs might come here tonight, become a Christian, get baptized. He may never function in any of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Or he may do, function all of them. Sometimes we don't know why that happens. I would say do not condemn yourself if A, you don't understand it, and B, you don't function in it. But desire those gifts. Because the Holy Spirit gives these things to the church to function, because I believe we're going into an age now anyway as the church whereby some people say the end's near. The Bible doesn't give us a clear, you know, line as to when that is, but what we know is that things are tough. There's massive opposition against Christianity over the world, but we know that that allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life, he can speak to you through wisdom, through knowledge, through faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and distinguishing of spirits. The only two I believe I've got them there. Mainly, I get words of knowledge occasionally, but distinguishing between spirits is something, a very personal gift that God has given me, which I don't share about, because it works for me and it works incredibly, what God shows me. But that's kind of, but some of you may do that. And so there's some people who prophesy in the meetings. I try not to do that, because if I think, well, God's not given me a prophecy. Just because I'm the pastor doesn't mean to say I should do that. I'm not a prophet. But some of you are. And as we all work together, God moves. I believe that tongues is for everybody. But if that's not something you've grasped yet, do not do not, absolutely do not condemn yourself. And for those of us who do speak in a certain gift, we shouldn't condemn those who haven't got it easier. I mean, the fruits of the Spirit are, in a sense, the evidence of that God is working through us, which is in Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So it's very, very important then that we realise that the Holy Spirit, not only, I've shared this morning, not only does God want to spend time with you, he wants to move through you in certain ways. And I can tell you now that every single obstacle you face in your life, physically, mentally, financially, God will work through miraculous ways in your life to interact with other people and bring things around. Yeah, honestly, you might be facing a hell on earth situation, but God will speak to you and show you through it. I've had that so many times where God showed me stuff, God's pointed things out, I believe, and I say this to my detriment, that one of the problems sometimes in churches, whereby you've got one pastor or whatever, is that sometimes people, very, very good, humble Christians like yourselves, might think, well, actually, maybe if I'm as good and close to God as Pastor Dave or Pete or Deborah Lynn or Dave Manning or Phil or whoever, then maybe I can do those things. No, the Lord's saying, you're qualified anyway. And God is more likely to give some of you these gifts than any of the leadership, because it's not about one man ministry. It's about all of us moving together. So in that, Paul talks about how the church is meant to move together. And he talks about in 1 Corinthians 13 that it should be reflected in love. 1 Corinthians 14 gives more instructions how the body should work together. One person, because they're not a hand or not a foot, shouldn't say that they're not as equal part of the body. And then Paul himself and others go on through the book of Acts to demonstrate this. Paul, when he was on Cyprus, being taken to Rome, was on Cyprus, was used to pray for a man's father. And also, a snake bit his hand, but he shook it off with no ill effect, because the Holy Spirit was working with him. And the Holy Spirit can be there with you tomorrow. I want to challenge you to believe right now that as you draw closer to God, perhaps in the way I've mentioned this morning, but you draw closer to God, that the Holy Spirit will develop something in your life off that list. Absolutely. Are all 12 of them for all of us? I believe they are. Do some people speak in tongues and some people don't? Is the reason for it? I've not worked that out yet. I know that we're all allowed to. I know it's all available for all of us. Did John Wesley speak in tongues? Did Billy Graham? We don't know. We think that Billy Graham possibly did, but he didn't go on about it. But is Billy Graham in heaven? Absolutely. Is John Wesley? Absolutely. I just think sometimes I don't want to sort of be somebody who jumps in the middle and goes, ah, shalababababab, and finds the living daylights out of some good, humble people who have been serving the Lord with dignity for 20, 30, 40 years that haven't yet understood that. I don't want to make myself more important. I say, look, hang on. I've got something to learn from you as well, but it is important for us to have. I've seen God work in tremendous ways, in the most wonderful ways in my life, and we've seen manifestations from the spiritual realm in our young days, me and Jackie, we know that all this is real, but there's no substitute, I believe, for just spending time in the presence of God, reading His Word. Allow him to develop the character of Christ and the patience and the love for other people through you. But I would say desire the spiritual gifts. Now, you might go away tonight and think, do you know what? I find this really crazy. Well, it's in the Bible. You might also think, well, actually, what about this? What about that? Come and ask me questions. Send me an email, a letter, a text, or speak to me and say, or somebody else, and simply say, what about this? What about that? I would say, do not be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Do not be afraid of these things, because there is no reason you should be. Your salvation was purchased. You've got to understand the basic element of the Bible, of the New Testament, is the atonement on the cross. You are completely forgiven. The moment you think that God has rejected you because of sin, you're making yourself more important than Christ. When God knew that you would accept him, he's not going to let you go. Read the end of Job. For I am convinced that he is able. Jude. I'm convinced that he is able. For the atonement, I believe, looking around this room and knowing everybody in this room, I believe that every single person in this room, because I know you in different ways, you're all Christians, you're all going to heaven, and all your sins are paid for. So there is a freedom within your walk with God where you can come close and say, Lord, I heard him talk about wisdom tonight, or tongues. Just speak to me. I remember literally when I was 19 as a Christian, being overwhelmed by the presence of God who hit me, and I spoke out in tongues in the most incredible way. And, you know, I just thought, it's wonderful. And God's given that to me. And, you know, a pastor friend of mine called Dave Carr, who runs a big church in the West Midlands, literally, when he speaks in tongues, he comes out in a French dialect, and he's not learned French. I know of people who God's given them 2 or 3 Spanish words a day or things like that. I'm learning Spanish at the moment. That'd be the easiest way to do it. But the Holy Spirit speaks in different situations. You know, maybe if God dropped me in the middle of part of the world where I didn't know the language, I believe that God would speak through me. But he will equip you with those things. So there is no substitute for the Word of God. And the Word of God backs up all this. You know, and if you find this, you think, this is a little bit crazy. I came here tonight to hear a sermon. He's talking about this weird stuff. But hang on. You know, the Bible, the truth of the Bible for the Christian comes through the New Testament, backed up by the Old Testament. And God doesn't say you've got to do this to be saved or do that to be saved. You know, if you have faith in Jesus Christ, you've accepted him. You know, the atonement covers every sin, every single sin. Hitler would have been, if he'd accepted Jesus, and he didn't, we don't think he did, but if he had, the atonement would have given him complete and total purity. And Hitler would have been forgiven completely, irreversibly, on that day, and God would have loved Hitler as much as he loved Jesus. That's how powerful the atonement is. Don't ever. I kneel before that cross. It's not an idol to me, but it reminds me. I kneel before this cross in the week and say, God, I give myself to you this day. I remember the day Richard and Maureen showed me around this church about 11 years ago. I was terrified. I can't leave the church like this. And as they were in the back doing something, I kneeled before it and said, I can with you. And I do it regularly, every Tuesday. I always have Monday off, and I come in every Tuesday. So I want to leave that with you there. So this morning we talked about how to connect with God. Last week it was is where we stand. But today it's the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. That where we grow with Jesus, where we allow him to work in our lives in a powerful way. There was a man called D.L. Moody, American preacher and evangelist, and he was one of the most incredible people to have ever been in ministry in modern times. Absolutely sold out for God. He wasn't on the fence. There came a time when he planned to have an evangelistic campaign in England. An elderly pastor protested, "Why do we need this, Mr. Moody? Why do we need this, Mr. Moody? He's uneducated, inexperienced. Who does he think he is anyway? Does he think he has a monopoly on the Holy Spirit?" And a younger, wiser pastor rose and responded, "No, but the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on Mr. Moody." Meaning very simply, D.L. Moody was a very poor person who said, "God, use me as I am. You've got a monopoly on me." I want Jesus to have a monopoly on me as well. Can the worship band come back, please? Today has been teaching on the New Testament. I love the Bible. I love the Word of God. I love the how the early church moved out from Jerusalem and Corinth around the Mediterranean. A lot of them ended up in Rome, but some of them went further. And some of those early church fathers and mothers, in some case, had the most miraculous signs. I mean, I think it's Ignatius of Antioch, or Polycarp, was literally thrown into an arena in front of Emperor Nero and set alight. And the flames stopped round him, wouldn't kill him. And in the end, he just said, "Can we just kill you with a sword?" He says, "If you want to." But it's just how God protects people through the Holy Spirit. Take the truth of the Word of God to your house, to your family situation, to your situation of depression, to the office on Tuesday morning or Monday morning. Don't go in there and frighten the life out of them. Say, "God, you know these people. You love them. You love me. Help me to love them." Just do something. And you've opened yourself up to an eternity of jewels from the Holy Spirit, where he will come in and speak to you and help you to function in this church and in another way in one of those situations.